Welcome to Forward Thinking, a podcast from Foundation Source. I'm your host, Dori Krieger. Foundation Source is the nation's largest provider of comprehensive support services for private foundations, bringing unparalleled knowledge and expertise to over 1,200 clients across the country. The best ideas in philanthropy aren't always the tried and true. Trailblazing entrepreneurs and next-generation philanthropists are transforming the sector with inspiring ideas and innovative strategies. Join us as we explore the advice, experience, and insight of some of the creative minds shaping our collective future. In this segment of Forward Thinking, we'll explore the growing importance of women in philanthropy with two women who are playing a leading role in transforming the sector. Jackie Zahner is the youngest and first female trader invited into the partnership of Goldman Sachs. After leaving a career in finance, Jackie has dedicated her time and resources to the advancement of women and girls. Today, she is president of the Jacqueline and Gregory Zahner Foundation and is the chief engagement officer and president of Women Moving Millions, a nonprofit organization with the bold mission of mobilizing unprecedented resources for the advancement of women and girls. Over 250 of their members have given gifts of $1 million or more directly to organizations of their choosing. Deborah Mesh is the director of the Women's Philanthropy Institute at Indiana University's Lilly Family School of Philanthropy. Deborah guides the Institute's research agenda, including the Women Give series, examining the effects of age, marital status, and income on gender differences in the likelihood and amount of giving to charity. Most recently, the Institute announced a partnership with the Gates Foundation, receiving a $2.1 million grant to accelerate research on giving by men and women. Thank you for joining me in the studio today.
Great. It's lovely to be here together.
Thank you. Yes.
Jackie, you've just been recognized for your work and impact in the Economist Global Diversity List. Inside Philanthropy also honored you by including you in their 50 Most Powerful Women in U.S. Philanthropy as a superstar catalyst and convener of women donors. It's pretty impressive. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Why is now an important moment to galvanize women as philanthropists?
Well, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I think it is truly such a moment. I mean, obviously, the needs in the world have never been greater. And there's sort of this confluence of events that's really calling women to action to support, of course, around causes they care most about, but in particular, really, the needs of girls and women. This is something that's near and dear to my heart. There's just so much evidence now. One thing I do is obsessively collect research, have for over a decade, in terms of making the case, like why invest in girls and women. And there really is a critical mass of evidence now that's really showing that these investments have exceptional returns in terms of the health and vibrancy of a community and peace and security and all of that. So combine this need with this tremendous amount of research, with now an unprecedented level of wealth in the hands of women, and you've got magic happening.
What was that moment like when you decided to leave your very successful career in finance and dedicate your energies towards convening women donors and also your work on advancing women and girls?
Well, the journey for me was a long one. I left Goldman in 2002, which my children remind me is a very long time ago. I had an amazing career at Goldman. It was really ignited around, at that time, my interest in women's leadership in the primarily finance, but in the corporate sector, as one of very few women, even at the time that I left, that reached the level of partner, but certainly in my history as a trader, you know, I was always left with this question of where are the women? Mm-hmm. What I found strength in terms of even building my own career was in networking, the power of bringing women together and creating that critical mass where there wasn't any naturally in your own business environment, because there's one woman there, one woman there, one woman there. So those seeds were planted very early. And yet when I left Goldman, I sort of went on this journey philanthropically to try to find a community of women who shared my values, and particularly the women who cared about this issue of advancing women's leadership. And I couldn't find it. So I spent a lot of years looking for it. So fast forward, it was in 2009 that I heard about Women Moving Millions, which at the time was a campaign encouraging women to make big and bold gifts on behalf of women and girls. So I joined as a member, making a $1 million gift myself to a number of organizations. And what was amazing is we formed this community because 100 women came together, all having done that. And really, since then, I have worked on building this donor community. Now, as you mentioned, of 255, actually women and a few men, each have made big and bold gifts. But to me, philanthropy and community go hand in hand.
Deborah, I'd like to bring you into our conversation here. And we've already used a couple of terms, and we hear a lot of terms in the field floating around. Gender lens philanthropy, women giving, advancing women and girls, women's philanthropy. Help us understand what all those mean.
Sure. And sometimes they can be used simultaneously and in the same sense. But what we focus on, when you talked about the term gender lens philanthropy, it really is looking at the roles in which men and women are socialized and how they view the world, and that affects how they engage in philanthropy. In philanthropy, they have different motivations. They have different ways to strategically engage in philanthropy. And we say that one is not better than the other. They're just different. When we talk about women's giving, we're really focusing more on how women are engaging in new models of philanthropy. There's giving circles. There's much more collaboration, much more of a democratic decision-making that goes on with women. So women are engaging in different types of giving models that do not necessarily resonate with men. So we look at gender lens philanthropy, we look at women's giving, and giving to women and girls, as Jackie mentioned, is a subset of philanthropy.
Jackie, you mentioned you left Goldman in 2002, just a little bit of time ago. Interested in your perspective on what you've seen change during that time as far as the philanthropic landscape goes with respect to women's roles in philanthropy and the impact they're able to have.
Yes, I think a lot's changed in the past 14 years. As mentioned, you know, when I started on this journey being a joiner, I love to call myself Jackie the Joiner. you know, I was trying to find all these communities of people, and really they were hard to find. In part because I think technology has also created this way and mechanism of finding things in ways we never had, you know, 15 years ago. But there really wasn't a lot going on. I mean, women's giving circles, although they've been around longer, I think in the past decade, they've really taken a lot of momentum. But a lot has transpired. And I even in terms of identifiable women philanthropists, and as Deborah said, you know, women tend to be more democratic. They're also more likely to be anonymous donors. So in terms of the visibility of women, of course, we know of the Melinda Gateses and Lorraine Powell Jobs and Laura Andreessen and countless women now, of course, of the billionaire category that are giving. But now we know a lot more about women that might be giving at a lot lower level but are actively engaging, are creating amazing impact in specific issue areas. Swanee Hunt, one of our founders, for example, is very active in the work of, you know, peace and security, as well as demand abolition around prostitution. So now you just see more. There are more platforms to share the stories of these women that come from very diverse backgrounds. They're not all of inherited wealth and of the billion-dollar category. But, you know, they're the women across the street as well. And I think that's incredible to see the diversity of the stories and the backgrounds of women that are truly all in around their work and philanthropy.
And Deborah, I'll turn to you too to understand, how do you see Jackie's experiences come alive through your research?
Yes, and the Jackie's experiences are resonating very, very clearly, a strong connection with the research. We're actually seeing much more media attention to our research. So as Jackie mentioned, we produce the research, we produce Women Give series every year, and that always makes a big splash in the nonprofit outlets. But what we're seeing is that more of the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, it's getting into the public sphere. So there is this groundswell of interest that I have not seen before. And I think Jackie can resonates with that as well. She's asked to go on so many more speaking engagements. So I think that this is not just a movement, and I think the media is picking up on this. So we know that when women form networks, There is something that happens within that network, within that group, a synergy that happens where women are more motivated by their own giving. They are motivated to give more frequently. They have the support of these other women in that network. And I say women because it's primarily women. And, you know, these are grassroots efforts. These are women who might start by sitting around the kitchen table within their own neighborhood, all the way to women's funding networks and the women's collective giving models of groups of women from all over the country and the world who are much more of a formalized organization and much more of a nonprofit organization. So the research is, I think, confirming that what women are doing is making an impact on their communities.
You both voiced from a research perspective and then an interest level on women's leadership roles. Mm-hmm. How are you seeing that actual leadership shift impacting the social sector and philanthropic networks?
Well, I think this too is in terms of the effect of women's leadership on the philanthropic sector. I think we're just beginning to see the impact of that. And there's sort of the donor leadership piece. We survey our members and we say, you know, what can we do for you? What as a community, as a network, are you looking for from us that you're not getting other places? And what we got back is leadership development and really seeing philanthropy as a gateway for women to activate. You know, when I talk about leadership, I mean all the skills and tools and understand your own capacity and what you bring to the table and how do you serve in the context of a board member or a volunteer or all of these things. So I think that's the next leg of the movement is sort of formalizing the training. That's something at Women Moving Millions we're thinking about a lot is what are the unique skills? What are the trainings that people want and need? But in terms of what's the impact on the society as a whole, I think it's more inclusive. So just like the research around women on corporate boards, they bring a diversity of thinking. There tends to be exactly that approach of more inclusion, more perhaps respect and acknowledgement of the customer base. So true in philanthropy. I think it's more effective because there's more attention to the specific needs of the communities that you're serving.
I think that Jackie said that so well. And I just want to add that I think one thing that we don't know enough about from the research perspective yet, but we hope to do that with further funding through our Gates grant, is to really look at the younger generations mm-hmm. and the millennials. So what we know about the millennials is that they are incredibly educated now in philanthropy, much more so than any other generation. We know that they're engaged in new forms of philanthropy. They're developing their own strategies for engagement through technology. They don't need the formal organization as much. And so in terms of leadership, I think that that's going to be a very interesting challenge in the future for the nonprofit sector and for civil society as a whole, because the millennials are not going to be taking the same path that previous generations have in leadership roles in those traditional organizations in the nonprofit sector. So what are those going to look like in the future, especially when the baby boomers retire and that the millennials are not resonating with the current forms of how those nonprofit organizations and those philanthropic organizations are engaging individuals? So it's going to be an interesting shift, and I think that our research is going to be looking at some of those new models of engagement, new technology, and also through a gender lens of seeing is there some new forms of philanthropy, technology, what other new modes of philanthropy that engage women more than men.
As you look at where we are today, do you think or experience or know from research that women are having more success in breaking through to those leadership roles? Are there still barriers for them in the philanthropic sector?
Well, I think it's interesting, and I want to point out one statistic, which was a big wake-up call for me in terms of really seeing women's leadership and philanthropy, especially at the high net worth level, as being something to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. I read a lot of the wealth research, you know, Campagini, World Wealth Report, sort of anything that sort of processes who's holding the wealth What are their values associated with how to use that wealth? And there was one report in particular on billionaires. So it looked at a number of demographics around billionaires in the world. So the study identified 286 were the number of female billionaires, 12%, as high as it's ever been in terms of that percentage. But they asked this question, what were the top five industries of female billionaires by percent of female billionaires? The top one for women, nonprofit and social organizations, 14.7%. Next one, finance, industrial, textiles, food products, quite small. So the top self-identified professional affiliation for women, nonprofit social organizations. For men, it wasn't even in the top five. So what it's telling me is women are self-identifying in this space of being professional philanthropists, and that's what they're doing with their time. Now, sometimes perhaps they've had the background of making their money, as entrepreneurs or professionals in that context. But often it might be family wealth, inherited wealth, and they're taking it upon themselves as really a job, as a career to do this work. And I think that's pretty transformational.
We do know from the research that most of the employees in the nonprofit sector are women. But that doesn't mean necessarily that women are holding the top leadership positions in those organizations. In fact, they are not. So I don't think that the nonprofit sector is any different than the public sector, government sector, or the private sector in terms of the glass ceiling that has been difficult for women to break through into that very top echelon of the major CEOs, chief financial officers of those larger, especially the larger nonprofit organizations. So when you really divide the data in terms of the smaller budgets versus the larger budgets, you see the larger organizations are primarily at the leadership level and the board level dominated by men, and there's not a lot of diversity.
You know, I'd like to step back for a second because we just jumped right into the women in giving. Mm-hmm. But help me navigate the gender disparities in giving. What really are the differences between men and women in how they approach their giving and where they give?
So here are just some of the top findings. We know that single women of single-headed households give more than similarly situated men. If we're just looking at single female headed households versus single male. Similarly, single women more likely to give than single men. And we also know that women give across more causes and tend to support all causes much more so than men. So we have the patterns are very different between men and women. So women will give to multiple organizations. They give smaller amounts across a larger number of organizations. And again, this is consistent findings across multiple studies. And we know then that men focus on much more strategic, focused, smaller number of organizations, but give larger amounts, which leads to this perception that women don't give as much because they spread out their giving. And oftentimes we say that women at the end of the year don't really even remember where they gave, because I give to this organization, I give to this friend, I give to this solicitation letter. Women do that much more so than men. So nonprofits perceive them as, well, maybe they're not giving as much, they're not as philanthropic. We also know, as I said earlier, that networks are a very powerful mode of philanthropy for women. And we talked earlier about why that occurs in those networks. We're also starting to learn about the decision-making within a household, and that's an area of research that we started to look at through our Gates research, and it's a very complex dynamic. And we're finding that women have a very powerful and strong influence on charitable giving, the likelihood and the amount of where that household gives to and how much they give to. So those dynamics are interesting.
I think we can all agree that knowledge is power, but help us understand, why do these differences matter?
Well, I think both the differences matter, but sort of the absolute data matters too. I think the goal here is really understanding motivations and with the intention of growing the amount of resources that are flowing into the world to help serve the world, because that need is extraordinarily great. I mean, the percentage of giving in the United States, we're the most philanthropic country in the world, approximately $360 billion in annual giving. Huge. That equates to about 1.6% of GDP, which has been constant forever. So I think a lot of large foundations in particular, you know, have a great interest in how do you increase that number? And I know Women Moving Millions, we did a report that looked at if you just increased it by 0.6%, oh, now I'm going to have to do the math in my head. I mean, billions more, $100 billion more. So, you know, this is really around understanding what motivates people to give. For women, it's different than men. So it provides tools for professionals in the field to engage people more, to raise more money. And again, not just to raise more money, but because, you know, so more money can flow to those in need.
Absolutely. And Jackie mentioned this idea of motivations, and that's one thing that we did find in our research, that there are significant gender differences in motivation. Women give from the heart. They give from their altruistic and empathetic motivations, and those feelings lead to them engaging in philanthropy in a particular way. Men oftentimes look at more self-serving motivations. How can my giving also enhance myself or help me in some way? It's not a strong empathy or altruistic giving from the heart type of motivation that women engage in. And these motivations affect philanthropy. And as Jackie said, we want to increase the pie. We want to increase giving for both men and women, which is why the Gates grant, this new $2.1 million grant to continue our research, is a game changer. Because we're going to be asking, what are the factors that influence women and men to give more, to give more intentionally, and to give more effectively? How can we increase giving for both men and women?
Jackie, from your perspective, with your convening power, access to all these networks, what are you seeing as far as the strategies women are using to be effective philanthropists? How are they aligning kind of their full self, so to speak, the giving, investing, spending? What are you seeing?
Well, I think that's still a brand new trend. Because of my background in financial services, obviously I have a literacy that perhaps a lot of women don't. I think it's very different generationally. That being said, I think that women in general are not as engaged around their financial resources when it comes to investing as men are. A lot of gender norms associated with that. A lot of money messages still to this day. Our media is still very disempowering around sort of women and you know, having active roles in their financial lives. So I think that's a really big factor. I personally am a big champion for this idea of impact and gender lens investing. And when you think about the resources that can be brought to bear in alignment with your values, I mean, most people give perhaps generously 10%, less generously 2%, you know, of their income or assets towards philanthropy. And yet that corpus or those core funds that support your philanthropy are often investment and left, you know, in someone else's hands, oftentimes with absolutely zero alignment with your values. So obviously that's a huge wasted resource. So I think the work that we're still doing is really trying to drive that connection and creating that cognitive dissonance, as I like to sort of frame it, to say, hey, if you're investing so much time and energy in giving your money away, and what about that whole, you know, other piece of it?
And we actually hope to do some of that in our next funding cycle for the Gates Grant, because we don't know a lot about the impact of donor education, leadership programs, training programs, on how that can lead to increasing actual giving by men and women. What works? What actually works? What, you know, the Jackie and I had a session last night, the salon, Jackie called it, of these women from Park City who were engaged in philanthropy. And I could just sense the hunger of what do I do next? I want to learn more. I think that we need to have a better understanding of this donor education piece.
Jackie, you mentioned when you made this shift from finance and really focusing your energies on philanthropy, you had a hard time finding your network. What would you say to our listeners who are in that same space of trying to find a network that aligns with the values and the change you want to see in the world? What's your advice for them?
Well, thankfully, there are some great resources now. I think it's called givingcommunities.org that exists, that lists the variety of giving communities that might be organized geographically or bought by issue area if you care about animals, animal rights, or the environment. So I think that's the first step. I think local engagement is really key. Of course, people have different ideas of where they want to have impact. I know I have a local, national, and international strategy when I think about that. But I think connecting into people within your community, we're very lucky here in Park City, which is my hometown, to have something called the Women's Giving Fund, something we started a couple years ago. It's an amazing initiative to encourage women to make a one-time gift of $1,000, create an endowment of $1 million, and now we give grants annually to organizations that serve women and children. So that's such an important way to engage and find people like yourselves in your own community. So local giving circles. The other one, again, is a woman that I think is so exciting and important, our engagement with your local women's foundation. So there's over, I think, 200 around the country. Most major cities have women's funds. And there's something called the Women's Funding Network, which is a network of these organizations around the country and around the world. And I think a big thing that I think is transformative to me around my journey is going to conferences. There are so many amazing events now, and I've tried over time to map them all, and then I've lost count. But of course, the Women's Philanthropy Institute are actually having a conference in March of next year, bringing together hundreds of women donors around the country. Our organization, Women Moving Millions, has an annual conference and many events. Women's Foundations, Women's Funding Network has a wonderful conference every year. But there's also ones like TED Women, one of my favorites. Obviously not all about philanthropy, but really bringing together women who care about issues and want to activate their leadership. So attendance of conferences, it's just for me, I mean, I love them, but I think it's an amazing way to connect with other people that you might find that share your passion.
Thank you. Thank you, Deborah and Jackie, for joining me today and sharing your insight and wisdom. I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
To learn more about this segment of Forward Thinking and our work at Foundation Source, please visit our resources page at foundationsource.com. While you're there, tell us what you thought of this segment and who you'd like to hear on a future one. We'd love to hear from you. Our podcast is produced by Gabrielle Galanek. I'm your host, Dori Krieger. ¶¶